Good morning, everyone. It's good to be home. Now, if I was to ask around the room and say, what was your favourite Bible verse? There are certain verses which we know off by heart, right? There are certain verses which come to mind and they're the things that we hold on to straight away. Or when the tough times come, they're the verses that we hold to. Because maybe they're just seeds that someone else has planted into us many, many years ago. Anyone want to share their favourite verse? We don't need a chapter, but if there's a verse here or there, that's one that sticks out for you, or a life verse that you hold to. Yep. From? The Psalm. From the Bible. Jesus Prayer Bible. Anyone else got a favourite verse? Yep. Proverbs 3:6. Yep.
1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful to cleanse our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness.
Yeah. They're good verses. I want to share with you today my least favourite verses in all of Scripture. No one ever talks about your least favourite, do they? I only ever talk about the stuff that is nice and is makes us feel all warm and fuzzy inside. There's a couple of verses in Scripture, a couple of passages, one verse that frustrates me, and there's one passage that I get offended by. And I'm going to share those with you today, just before we go into the passage in which we've looked at. Corey, can we grab the PowerPoint up there, and I'll share them with you. Acts 2 is the first one. It's interesting that both of my passages come post-Holy Spirit, there's an irony to that, I think. You know, we send a helper. We're looking at the sower today, but my least favourite passage in Scripture, when I get this working, here we go. It's not the first part, praising God and enjoying the favour of all people. It's this next part. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the bit that frustrates me. I want to see this today. There are so many people in our world around us who are broken, who are without God, who are without the hope that is found in Jesus, and I so desperately want them to experience, and I want to see it. I mean, if we had numbers adding to their adding to our number every day, that means that we're planting seeds that God is making grow and harvesting every day. Newsflash, that doesn't happen on a Sunday. There's Monday through Saturday that God does His work. Because if it's daily, that means that it's not in the hour of power on a Sunday, right? It's every day of the week, which means we need to be planting every day of the week. The part that offends me is that I often don't do the planting. I don't plant seeds every day. I don't look for opportunities to plant seeds every day. There are some days when it's just rough and you just want to exist and hope you get to sundown. Maybe that's just me. And you think to yourself, thank you, Lord, that I've made it to bed. Let's try again tomorrow. But I want to be part of a place, I want to be part of a church, I want to be part of a community of faith that sees numbers added to their group daily. Do you? The second offensive one for me is Acts chapter 8, and we'll look at it a little bit later, and it's the story of Philip, and not one of my favourites for a particular reason. Now, we're going to go over it really quickly, and it's not on the screen, but if you read the story of Acts chapter 8, you see in there right at the very start, Stephen gets stoned. It's not the greatest passage in the world. Things aren't going so great for the church. Then what does Philip do in response to this negativity? He goes to the people that nobody likes in Samaria. and he preaches the word. He's prepared to plant seeds. It says, now those who were scattered, in verse 4, those who were scattered went from the place to place proclaiming the word. Philip went to the city of Samaria and proclaimed Messiah to them. The crowds with one accord listened eagerly, and Philip, hearing and seeing the signs of what he did, and it goes on to say that later on in the passage, the angel of the Lord, in verse 26, he goes on to do more things for God. The angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go down to the south, to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza." Now, this is the road that wasn't the friendliest of places. He got up and went. When God asked him to do something, he got up and he went. When God asked me to do something, I, like Debbie, think of some excuses, some bargaining chips, some, "Hey, God, I know you said go there, but what about if we did this instead?" So they're the two passages that I get frustrated by because they challenge me at the moment the most. We'll come back to that a little bit later. So Acts chapter 8 is what I was looking at there. I want to look at what the types of soil are. What soil are you? What soil are you? We all want to be the cultivated soil, right? We all want to be the one that where harvest comes 100 times, 60 times, 30 times. But the reality is, the life in which we lead and the life in which we have with the things that come around us, there are times in our life when we're like the path, when we're like the rocky places or the shallow soil, when there's things that come around us, they actually turn into that thorny space. And then there's others that are, we experience fertile soil, and there are times for that. I'm not a farmer, I'm not a gardener. I know beyond measure that I have a gift of killing things when it comes to growing stuff in the garden. If we had a plastic plant, I could melt it, I'm sure. It's just not my thing. But what I do know is that if you want to do something in the garden or you want to do something in that fertile soil, the thing that you need to do is you need to turn the soil over, cultivate the soil, tend to its needs. The difference between the fertile soil and the path is cultivation. That somebody is tending to its needs, that the farmer or the caregiver is giving it water, turning it over, getting rid of the weeds, working the soil. I'm not telling anyone in this room that that's not easy sometimes. I've had conversations with guys that farm here. They're getting up at midnight to go and turn the irrigators on. Getting up at midnight's okay in summer. Well, it's much better than getting up at midnight in the middle of winter, right? There's a cost associated with cultivation. The cost is that there's always something to work on. We've never made it. When I've been chatting to, we had that massive hailstorm last year, and I've chatted to heaps of farmers since, and I've learnt more about farming in the last 5 months or 6 months than I learnt in my whole life. And I still know this much. And I could still kill anything on anyone's property. If they need my assistance, I'm sure that'd be a no. I could miss a Roundup. I don't even use Roundup, and I reckon I could kill it like Roundup, right? It's just not my thing. One of the things, if you drive around the valley recently, you would see a lot of, and that's irrigation, right? There's water going everywhere. And it's made me wonder, how dry are we? How dry are we? Have we When's the last time that we have sought the living water for us? When's the last time that we've looked at the living water and wondered, why are we so parched? If we look at, there's stories in Scripture about planting, about planting things. If we look in Genesis chapter 26, we see in Genesis 26 the story of Isaac, who was in the middle of a famine in the land in which he was living. And in the midst of the famine, in verse 6 and 7, no, 12 and 13, sorry, wrong passage, 12 and 13, he planted as an act of faith. He didn't see rain on the horizon. He didn't see anything that was happening, but I will plant, not knowing what's coming, not knowing where the next lot of rain is coming from. Isaac faithfully planted to say to God, I will be here where you want me to be. Most of us would think that that's a little crazy. We could maybe feel the same level of crazy when we see the people and we interact with and we plant that seed of hope. We plant that seed of love. We plant that seed of God's word in their life. And we think to ourselves, I can't see God working in their space yet. We don't have to. We're not asked to do that. We're asked to plant, right? But Isaac was faithful, and we see that in Isaac's faithfulness, he reaped a harvest 100-fold. Maybe this is the answer to my frustration in Acts 2:47, that he was faithful in the planting and let God do God's part. Here's another passage from 1 Corinthians. I being Paul, planted, Apollos water, but God made it grow. How often, last year, my kids were involved in planting things, they willed it out of the ground. Come on, come on, come on. Every day they were going out looking at it. And, you know, it takes time to grow things. It takes time. Did they make it grow? No, they did their part, but God made it grow. I wonder sometimes whether we think that we need to fill all three parts to this passage, right? We plant, we water, we make it grow. We will will it out of the ground, we will force it out of the ground, no matter what. I know that it's not just me, because surely it's not just me. But I absolutely try to fill all three categories a whole bunch of the time. So I wonder this morning, in the midst of the seed that we talked about, when we're asked to sow things, what are we planting? Are we planting negativity in our own lives and in the lives of others? Are we planting comparisons? Are we planting fear? Are we planting worry? Maybe doubt? Or maybe shame? Now, that may not be in everyone else's life, but we're planting it in ours by the thoughts that come to us that we're not good enough. That when he talks about free, he's not talking about me, because I don't count because of the things that I've done in my life. There have been plenty of times where we say these things and we think these things and we plant these things deep within us, and they almost become part of who we are. You see, friends, if we want to see God's work in us happen, we need to be planting the right things. It would seem crazy to you and to me that if we were wanting to grow corn, that we would plant apple seeds. You're never going to get corn from apple seeds. You're never going to get a life free and free indeed if we start planting this stuff in our lives and in the lives of others. Now, I'm just going to be really transparent. I've planted a whole bunch of them over my lifetime. And sometimes I wonder whether I'm cultivating some of those when I fail to sow the seeds of hope and the seeds of grace. I'm actually helping that stuff continue in my life and in others by not speaking and planting those other seeds, the seeds of hope, the seeds of life, the seeds of mercy, boldness, grace, and peace. I wonder whether I'm too busy with this one and not with this one. This one costs. This one costs us something. Friends, from 1 Corinthians where it says, but God made it grow. We need to do our part. We need to be sowing those passages that we talked about this morning around the room. Because I think if we sowed more faithfully, each of us, me too, seeds of hope and life and mercy and boldness and grace and peace in people's lives, we would see Acts 2:47b happen. That there would be numbers added to their number daily. That doesn't mean about growing people within the church. We want to see people embrace that John 10:10 experience. That Jesus came to give life and life in abundance. And if we believe that, then we need to keep sowing. God made it grow, is what it says there. Not us, but God made it grow. So this morning, the challenge is, when God makes it grow, what's our part? What's our part? Our part is to be faithful in the planting, just like Isaac. In the midst of famine, when it seems like it shouldn't grow, there is everything going against it. That could be in our life or in the life of others. We may feel like we're in the midst of a famine or a drought right now in our own journey with Jesus. Be faithful in the planting. Plant those seeds down deep. And be regularly cultivated by God. That's going to cost. That's going to hurt. I'm here bearing all the good news today. That's going to hurt sometimes. That's going to cost us something. There might be parts of our life that actually need to be ripped out and thrown away. And in the midst of the ripping and the throwing away, it might be stuff that we've held on to. In fact, we might be the one making it grow. And God says, no, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus comes to give life and life in abundance. For abundant life to happen, that's the life of the overflow. That's the life of the exceedingly more that the writer to the Ephesians talks about. And for it to be exceedingly more, sometimes we need to make space for that. And we need to rip and tear some of those weeds out of our lives. Or the other option is we let that stuff stay and we never get to that overflow space. We never get to the exceedingly more. We're prepared to continue to live with this stuff. Because that all tells me about steal, kill, and destroy to me. And this stuff tells me about living life in the overflow. So what are we planting? If we were being really honest with ourselves, what are we planting? Maybe there are words on there that aren't what you're planting at all. Maybe you're planting busy. We tell ourselves this lie about we have to be busy. I am busy. Or I am hungering after more of what God wants for me. Don't know what that looks like yet, but that's what I'm doing. But so often we say to people, how are you going? And we get that response, I am busy. Because we think that that's who we are. That's not who we are, that's what we're doing. Who we are, but if we say busy, then maybe they won't ask me again. They won't ask me that next question that says, actually, I am dry. I am parched. I've allowed things in my life to grow that aren't doing me much good at all. Who's ever going to say that? Nobody. Actually, I've let things grow in my life that I probably don't need there. I'm not living in the overflow. I'm actually just living with the weeds of stuff that's going on for me. Nobody will ever say that. We always just say busy, hoping that they don't ask a second thing. If they say busy, then maybe that'll be good enough. So what are we planting in our life? What are we planting in the lives of others? Are we planting more of this? Or are we planting more of this? Or are we just so dry, we haven't been cultivated in ages? We actually haven't ripped and we haven't let the gardener who came on that first Easter morning and spoke and said, Mary. He said her name, and she knew exactly who it was that was coming and was speaking to her. Maybe we haven't spent enough time with Jesus in ages, that we haven't spent any time with the living water, and we're dry, and we're parched, and we could just go a drink right now. My prayer, friends, is that in the life in which we lead daily, that would we be faithful in the planting of the seeds of hope, the seeds of life and mercy and boldness and grace and peace. Not just in our lives, but in the lives of those around us, so that we can live out that Acts 2:47 promise that the number would be added to their number daily. That there would be more people experiencing God's grace. That there would be more people experiencing His love. That there would be more people in our community transformed by Jesus. You see, when we have an encounter with Him, we're never the same. You look right through Scripture, and whenever there's an encounter, small or large, they're never the same. You remember the story of the woman who reached out and touched his cloak. She didn't talk to him. In fact, she didn't even know him. She just knew about him, and she touched him. There wasn't words exchanged, but she was healed. Are you and I reaching out for God, or are we just busy planting some of these things? Friends, this week, my prayer would be that we would spend as much time as we can planting those seeds. When we see in Acts chapter 8, this passage about from verse 26, we read about the eunuch and the fact that he ticked every box as to why he couldn't be in God's kingdom. And yet they came to the river and he was baptized. So if the guy who can tick every box that disqualifies him from being in relationship with Jesus can have seeds of hope planted in him, then good news, it can happen for us too. Nothing separates us from the love of God. So as we head through this week, Have there been times in your life where you have not planted? Where you could have? Are there moments in time where we have to say, actually, God, can you forgive me? You asked me to go and I gave you excuses why I couldn't. You asked me to plant and I gave you reasons why I couldn't. Maybe God's asking you to plant in a space that is just totally uncomfortable. Maybe we need to be a bit more like Philip and just get up and go. Get up and plant. Even when God says for us to go and we say, I'll do anything, but can we just negotiate? Because I want it to be on my terms, not yours. But see, we pray that prayer when Jesus taught his disciples to pray that says, your will be done, your kingdom come. And unless your Bible is different to mine, in Matthew chapter 6, it doesn't say my. My will be done. It says your. So this morning, God's asking us to plant seeds. Who do we need to plant seeds into? Is it us? Is it the people we see on Monday at work? Do people need to see something different in us? Maybe their life is parched and we can be God's vessel of living water. We're not meant to be a water tank. We shared that a few weeks ago. We're not meant to be the water tank where we become a reservoir, but we are meant to give out and allow that water to refresh others. We're going to share together in a song just now that says, find rest, my soul, in Christ alone. Know his power in quietness and trust. When the oceans rise, it's not if the oceans rise, but when the oceans rise and thunders roar, that's going to happen. Bearer of good news again. That's going to happen. It's all never going to be easy street. But when the oceans rise and thunders roll, I will be still. That verse from Psalm 46, I will be still and know, but it's not head know, it's heart know that you are God. So as we sing this morning, maybe you need to have an opportunity to say, actually, I've missed the mark on that planting thing. Maybe I'm cultivating things in my life that aren't helpful to my living in the life of the overflow. Maybe you've got opportunities where you're desperate for people to know the freedom found in Jesus. As we sing together, let's spend some time just responding to God's Spirit, believing that He's moving amongst us. And as we sing these words, when the oceans rise, I will be still and know that you are God.